Hello, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and I have Amanda and Lois back today with me.
Hi there, Brandon. We're here.
We came back.
Welcome back. And we are on day two of our World article. Panelists, did you learn something new yesterday?
I did. I learned just how much of a problem healthcare is in certain places around Africa.
Right, and how about you, Lois?
Yes, I did. I like that we're focusing on Mozambique because it is a country I know a little bit about, and it also made me dig a little bit more in my research, Brandon, about the country of Mozambique. And, you know, I think some of our listeners don't know that their official language mm-hmm. is Portuguese.
Yes.
Because it actually used to be ruled by the Portuguese, mm-hmm. what we would refer to as a colony, and was for over four centuries. And this year they're going to be celebrating 40 years of independence.
Wow.
So this is an exciting year for the country of Mozambique, and we hope because it's an exciting year, they can get their health care system worked out.
That's right. And there have been many improvements in Mozambique, but there's still need for more improvements when it comes to health care there. And that is interesting. I found that out as well, that their official language is Portuguese. I don't think I really knew that. Maybe someone mentioned it recently, but I didn't really know that. And I think that's very interesting. Well, we are really focused in on the healthcare systems, not only in Mozambique, but in Africa as a whole. And we're talking about the struggles there. We are on page 34. So if you have your magazines, you can open those up to page 34. And yesterday we talked about, at the beginning, about a boy who nearly died, but he was resuscitated. Again, what does that word resuscitated mean, Amanda?
It means to bring someone who is dying or wake someone who is unconscious back to life, back into being conscious. I think it's interesting that we started this article with a story that really explains the problems facing the different countries of
right.
Africa.
Yes, it does. It's a good way for us to see the problems that they are facing. And, you know, when I think about healthcare for ourselves, many listeners, maybe you're thinking about your healthcare as well. It's important to take care of yourself. You know, before you even need to go to the doctor, we think of, you know, preventative healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that, Lois, Amanda, that you like to do to make sure that you stay healthy?
Well, I think staying active is important, especially if you have a job where you're at a computer a lot or in an office job, you're sitting a lot. I think it's very important to exercise and move the body. That would be good, so the blood flow moves around. And I think eating well.
That's great. That's good. Okay.
Yes, for me, I do like to regularly exercise. That's very important to me. And to eat right for the size of woman I am, my age, my height, whatever. And I like to think that I try my best to get enough sleep. I think that's something lacking in every continent in the world, that we often don't get enough sleep. And that does affect our health, and it affects our mood as well.
That's a good point. Get enough sleep. I need that advice as well.
See, that's why I'm about, 20 years older than you and giving you some advice.
There we go. Well, my advice for staying healthy is run and eat apples. That's just a way to remember. Just get some exercise and eat your fruits and, of course, vegetables. Eat well. Basically, similar to what Lois and Amanda mentioned. It's important to get up, out, away from your desk, off the couch, whatever, and get some exercise. And we talk about that a lot. We have many articles about getting exercise. So hopefully that's motivating us all to get outdoors a little bit more.
I like teasing people on the third floor, as Brandon knows. It's time to get up and stretch, I always say, so we can stand away from our desk for a few minutes, off our computer, and just really have a good stretch. Because as all of us know, we are on our computers here at work an awful lot, so we are sitting a lot more than the generation before us did.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, like last night I went for a run, maybe a for like 10 kilometers, so I think that helps as well. I want to brag about that a little bit because it doesn't happen that often.
We're impressed, Brandon, right, Amanda?
Yes.
Well,
I'm
preparing for my first ever marathon.
Full marathon?
Half marathon. Yes, it's important to clarify that point, but I'm looking forward to that, so that will get you ready as well.
Good for you.
Okay, so now we are on page 34. We're on day two, and we will have today's first reading.
Finding ways to make it work. Although simply spending more isn't sufficient, more investment is frequently necessary, said former World Bank Health Director Julian Schweitzer, who advises developing countries for Results for Development Institute, a Washington-based nonprofit. Countries that have been successful have built systems. They train doctors and health workers, expanded insurance schemes, created financial incentives. These countries learn you have to do all these things together.
So we want to find ways to make it work, talking about the healthcare systems in Africa. And how do we start off, Lois?
Well, it says, like you said, finding ways to make it work, but it says, although simply spending more isn't sufficient, more investment is frequently necessary, said former World Bank Health Director Julian Schweitzer.
Okay, so now we're talking about this whole thing about spending money. Now, we've known for years that various countries have been giving money to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the answer. Of course, it's needed, but that's not the only thing you need, right?
Right. You need to actually have money to put something into. And so investing into the structure that needs to happen is very important, perhaps the planning of it, the strategy of it. How are you going to do it?
And the use of the money as well. Money alone is not the answer. It's needed, but there needs to be a structure.
Exactly.
Like you said,
and accountability, too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure, that's right. So this is, again, from the World Bank Health Director. And Julian advises developing countries for Results for Development Institute. So this person, Julian, is an advisor, and this is a Washington-based nonprofit. So this is from the United States. Now, we get into, I think, a very important paragraph here where we continue to hear from Julian Schweitzer. And what does Julian say?
He says countries that have been successful have built systems and structure. He says they trained doctors and health workers, they expanded insurance schemes, they created financial incentives. And the countries that have done it, these countries have learned you have to do all these things together.
Okay, so they have built systems, and then they've trained doctors and health workers and so forth. And so you have to think about everything and how it all connects, right? And you have to come up with a plan for the insurance companies and so forth. It says insurance schemes. And we also see the word incentives here, Lois.
That's right. That's in our vocabulary focus, Brandon. An incentive is something that encourages a person to do something. So it almost sounds like a reward, right?
Yeah, and we need incentives in life. You know, you think at work, it's nice to have some incentives. Money is an incentive to go to work. It might not be your motivation. You might have other things that are motivating you to go to work, but money is definitely an incentive.
Yeah, or maybe an incentive of time off, paid vacation.
Yeah.
That's often what we need for a break and maybe to get more sleep, to
right.
get our health better.
Right, but a motivation might be you have a passion for that job or you know, you're very interested in it or something else. Motivation might be something larger, a bigger reason for why you do your job, but an incentive definitely is money or vacation time, as Lois mentioned. But here, of course, we're talking about healthcare systems, and if they have financial incentives, that definitely helps there as well. Well, these countries learn you have to do all these things together. It's not just training doctors. It's not just having the money there. You have to put everything together, and it has to be organized. Well, let's find out about a couple of countries in Africa who are, so far, doing a pretty good job. We'll find out about them in our next reading.
Ethiopia, still one of the world's poorest countries, has deployed nearly 40,000 community health workers in the past decade. And after its 1994 genocide, Rwanda built a national health insurance system and began rewarding clinics that provide appropriate care, such as delivering babies in health facilities rather than at home. The two countries are among just 10 worldwide on track to meet the United Nations 2015 targets for reducing child and maternal mortality.
Okay, so now we are talking about the country of Ethiopia, which is further north, much further north. When we're talking about Mozambique, that's in the southeastern part of Africa, and Ethiopia is in the northeast part of Africa. So, Ethiopia, still one of the world's poorest countries, has actually deployed nearly 40,000 community health workers in the past 10 years. Deployed.
Yeah, we often think, Brandon, of the word deployed, we think of the military, right?
Mm,
but
yes.
We usually put that word together. And to our vocabulary focus, it shows us deployed, says the definition is to move people to where they will be used when they are needed. So obviously this isn't the military this time.
Okay, so we see that Ethiopia is actually a very poor country, but they're still doing something, and that's very encouraging. Goes back to the point that money isn't the only answer, Amanda.
Right, putting the system in place. If you think about 40,000 community health workers going into the country, that's a lot of community workers.
Mm, yes.
Definitely.
So we've talked about Ethiopia here. What's the other country mentioned?
Right. We have the other country that was in the news a lot in the 1990s, and that is Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our listeners will remember that Rwanda was in the news because of a genocide that took place.
That's right. And that was in the 90s. And after that happened, in 1994 actually is when it happened, and a genocide is the intentional killing of all the people of a nation, religion, or racial group. And so, for example, maybe within a country, they might target one group, and they just want to kill everyone in that racial group, for example. And so here in Rwanda, this happened in 1994. But after this happened, what occurred?
Well, they were able to build a national health insurance system, and they began rewarding clinics that provide appropriate care. So they had an incentive system put in place, for example, such as delivering babies in health facilities rather than at home. So they encouraged the public to bring, or the mothers to give birth in health facilities rather than at home, which would decrease the infant mortality rate.
Okay, so they gave incentives. Maybe they gave them more funds or something, for example. Maybe they rewarded those clinics because they were giving the care that was needed. And they also have a national health insurance system. And so that means, I assume, that every person, every citizen of Rwanda has access to some sort of health care.
Right, right. It would be very similar to what I'm used to here in Taiwan or in my home country of Canada. And it is a good way of tracking. I never thought of this till I started reading this article, of tracking how your citizens are doing health-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do have a problem with infant mortality, or maybe you're a country with high rates of cancer, this is a really good reason why a national health care card identification can really be helpful.
Okay, thanks, Lois. Well, Amanda, what do we learn about these two countries?
Well, we see that these two countries are among just 10 worldwide on track to meet the United Nations 2015 targets for reducing child and maternal mortality. So the United Nations is another organization that looks at different ways to help different countries around the world. They have a target in 2015, it's this year, for reducing child and maternal mortality. Maternal referring to mothers, and maternal mortality would refer to mothers that may die during childbirth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then also we see the term there, child mortality, of course, children who are dying, so they want that, of course, to be reduced. We see that these two countries are on track.
Right, that's an idiom, and we don't hear that often. It means developing as expected. So we're keeping something on track. So maybe in this case, what they want to focus on, what they want to think about, what they want to work on is staying on track.
Okay, and we want to stay on track here by having our next reading for today.
Finding aid is a challenge. The lagging investment in health in Africa is even more worrisome, as many industrialized nations, including the United States, are under pressure to scale back foreign assistance during their own economic struggles. After nearly tripling between 2000 and 2010, global health aid has hit a plateau over the past 4 years, according to data compiled by the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. The need here is still huge, said Jean-Luc Anglade, chief of mission in Mozambique for Doctors Without Borders. The aid group, which for months led the international response to Ebola, has developed new systems to distribute drugs to HIV/AIDS patients in Mozambique. The country has some of the highest infection rates in the world. Rapid economic growth in Mozambique, where large coal and natural gas deposits have been discovered in recent years, had fueled hopes that the national government would assume responsibility for more of these health services.
Okay, so finding aid is a challenge, of course, and we talk about the lagging investment. If something is lagging, it means it's behind.
Right, and it's not keeping up the pace we thought it would be. It's been probably forecast to be a lot better. Now it is lagging behind.
Okay, so we see that this is worrisome. If something is worrisome.
Well, that is one of our vocabulary focus words, and it means just to cause worry, so to make you feel worried.
Okay, and this is because many industrialized nations, meaning more developed, highly developed nations, aren't giving as much money as they were before, or at least they're pressured into not giving as much because they are having their own economic struggles.
That's so true, Brandon. And they don't have the money to give to foreign aid, as we used to call it,
right,
like they used to.
Right. So some countries may be scaling back, or they may be reducing their foreign assistance, and they use the United States as an example here as well. That is, they give to different countries, but maybe now they are not as willing to do so because they have their own economic problems.
Which is very big because those countries, you know, countries that have less money really do rely on the industrialized countries to provide them with care.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, so it's sad to see that. Hopefully it will pick up again.
Right. And you know, some of these countries, like for instance, Mozambique, that has such a long-standing relationship with Portugal, they actually want Portugal's economy to continue to do well because Portugal still feels an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And they do provide aid, and there's still a lot of connection. I did some research, still a lot of connection between the country of Portugal and Mozambique.
Very good. Okay, well now after nearly tripling between 2000 and 2010, global health aid has hit a plateau. Now if something has hit a plateau, that sounds like something has stopped.
Right. Well, yes, it has. In actual fact, it's a period of time that there's been no real big change. So not necessarily that it's stopped altogether, but it's stayed at the same pace. And it hasn't increased, it hasn't decreased. But, of course, here the situation is it hasn't increased.
That's right. Yes, that's a better explanation. Not that it has stopped, but it's no longer increasing or growing. And so we can use that in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things hit a plateau.
We'll often say that about a company, that it's hit its plateau, and then some people think, well, it has no more potential then because that's as much as it's going to make, that's as much as it's going to be worth.
Right. Okay, so We see here that the finances or money that was given between 2000 and 2010, we use that word tripling there. That means that it was just growing and growing and growing. If the money was coming in, finances were there, but now it's just staying in the same spot. And so, this is according to data compiled by the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. And so that's where this information comes from. And next we hear from the chief of mission in Mozambique for Doctors Without Borders. And what do we learn here?
Well, he says the need here is still huge. And huge is another adjective to describe big. In fact, usually bigger than big, very big. So here he's saying the need is still very great.
Okay. And this organization, Doctors Without Borders, what they do is very, very interesting. They help people worldwide where the need is greatest. They deliver emergency medical aid to people. For instance, people who are affected by conflict or epidemics. And it's a neutral and impartial humanitarian organization. So they're not concerned about your religion or political party or anything like that. They just want to basically help those who are in need. And it says, this information is from their website, and it says that on any given day, more than 30,000 doctors, nurses, etc., are out there, you know, doing this work. And so that's a lot of people.
Right, Brandon, it certainly is. And some of our readers might be familiar with Doctors Without Borders, and we often hear about it through the news. It originated in France. Its acronym is MSF, which stands for Médecins Sans Frontières. And so that actually means Doctors Without Borders. That's the English translation.
Okay, good job with that French pronunciation there, Lois. Okay, well, that's a little bit more about Doctors Without Borders and who they are and what they do. We see that the aid group, which for months led the international response to Ebola, has developed new systems to distribute drugs and so forth. And so we have talked about actually earlier this month already about Ebola and how scientists are out there looking for new diseases. And so we see here that this aid group was right there helping during that epidemic. And they are helping people who have HIV and AIDS and so forth in Mozambique. And what do we learn about Mozambique?
Well, we learned that the country has some of the highest infection rates of HIV or AIDS in the world. And we talked earlier about there not being enough of a system or healthcare system being put in place. So for Doctors Without Borders to put this system to distribute drugs for HIV is a great help to Mozambique.
Okay. And we talked about this earlier about how economic growth in Mozambique, we talked about the economic growth there rather, and why are they having such economic growth?
Well, it says they're having actually rapid economic growth, which must be very encouraging to the population there, Brandon. Mm-hmm. And it says it's because they have large deposits of both coal and natural gas. And that's all been discovered in recent years.
And a deposit, meaning like a layer of a substance. We think of, you know, the bank. When I think of the word deposit, I deposit a check into my bank account, meaning I'm putting it into my bank account. But here we're talking about a layer of a substance. Here in particular, we're talking about coal and natural gas. And they've been discovered in recent years. And that's great news if you discover these, because that means money, right?
Exactly.
So hopefully they can use this money to improve their healthcare system there in Mozambique. And all of this has fueled hopes, using that play on words, because we're talking about coal and gas. So hopefully this has fueled hopes that the national government would do what, Amanda?
Would assume responsibility. And to assume responsibility means that they would realize they need to take on the responsibility.
Okay, so as people look at this rapid economic growth, they hope that the money will go to the healthcare system there in Mozambique, and people will receive better health care and even for basic needs or especially to fight against these serious diseases. And so this is what people are hoping for, Lois.
That's right. And it's encouraging because we want to see the people have better health care, have a longer life expectancy, and also when we think of the beginning of our article, we really do not want to see infant mortality rates the way they are or even exist at all.
Okay. They need to look after their population because they need workers for these large coal and natural gas companies that they will establish in Mozambique. And if they continue to have a large infant mortality rate, that will affect their future.
That's right. Well, listeners, thank you for joining us for day two of our World article. We have more to discuss on tomorrow's edition of Advanced Studio Classroom. We are talking about the struggles of African health care systems. And we hope that you will also check out our Topic Talks videos. If you have a smart device, just scan the QR codes at the top of page 34. You can find out more information about the vocabulary, for example. You can check out Get It Right, which Amanda is the host of that segment of Topic Talks, and that can help you to look at some of the vocabulary words and review some of them. So check those QR codes at the top of page 34, and please be sure to join us again tomorrow. Thank you, and goodbye.
Goodbye.